Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Comadres y Comics is a podcast hosted by three Latina women.
We highlight the Latinx presence in the comic book industry as creators, characters, and fans.
Join us as we talk chisme, comics, fandom, and beer.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. This is episode 214. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Hello, ladies. Welcome back. How's everybody doing?
Hello.
Well, I'm doing.
Same. Jen, you're not even in school anymore. Now what is
no? Now I have a full-time job.
Yeah.
And that is like, you think making more money would ease my problems? It does not. As a matter of fact, I now have more of them.
Yeah.
I get
it's true
it.
What they say, more money, more problems.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Although I feel like there's a threshold to where if you surpass it, your problems significantly decrease. For example, today I went to the dentist, and I haven't been to the dentist in about 6 years because I didn't have dental insurance. And I went to the dentist today, and even with dental insurance, the bill came out to $2,552. And I looked at them, the man and the dentist and his assistant, and I was like, do I really need teeth?
No, I think that's perfectly valid. Also, if they're like, look, they always try to guilt trip you, and I'm like, that's not gonna work. I would actually choose death than pay you money.
Well, see, I'm not quite at that point yet because it's the fear of death that made me go to the dentist to begin with, because I've heard stories about people letting their toothache get so bad that they actually had an infection that traveled to their brain and killed them. So I don't want that to happen. So I still have life to live. So I'm going to live it $2,550 poorer.
For teeth.
Yes.
Gods.
Yes. Actually, that was the story behind the last episode of Grey's Anatomy of last season. Was Teddy, the heart surgeon, had an affected tooth, it was either the tooth or the gum, I can't remember, and it traveled to her heart and she collapsed before she can perform surgery, and then the guy on the table died. Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, damn. Spoiler alert. Oops.
Wow. First of all, I didn't know Grey's Anatomy was over or whatever.
It's still going on.
Oh, yeah. Just for the last season.
The last episode of the last season. We're like 3 episodes in right now of the new season.
Oh no.
I can't believe it's still going. That really lasted. Even longer than ER, I think. ER went on for a long time.
Yeah, but I think the reigning king is still The Simpsons. I think they're like, what, 34 seasons in?
I thought it was General Hospital.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Do they have seasons? I don't know. But General Hospital has been on since the 70s.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, guys, now it's time for Chisme de la Semana. And today's chisme comes fresh out of Facebook. We have learned that Julia Garner is going to be our new Silver Surfer. Mm. And it's very interesting, but also the internet does what the internet does.
Yep.
And they are complaining about the Silver Surfer being played by Julia. Yep. It's really crazy. A lot of people are losing their mind. So there was one guy who posted, the MCU is not made to please you. It's not 1968. We can have a black Captain America, a Mayan Namor, a Latino Moonlight, and Reed Richards. But you're going to complain about a hot blonde. So that's kind of clever. And he also made a little asterisk note saying, it's not a gender swap since there's been a Shala Ball version since the 1990s. So Yeah, and this actress, Julia Gardner, she was in Ozark, and she was a real badass in that show.
Oh, Ozark.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one in a while.
I've never seen that, but I heard a lot of good things about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to finish it off, but yeah, it was really good.
I can't remember. I had generally good feelings about it. I was just all like, yeah, hell yeah, good science fiction. But then...
Is it science fiction?
No.
Yeah. No?
No, wait, Ozark is about this family that moves away and starts like... selling drugs or something like that.
Ozark?
Okay.
Yeah. In the city of Ozark where there's nothing or something. Anyway, it's complicated. It reminds me a little bit of Breaking Bad. A little bit.
Oh, uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Who was in it? Was it Timothy Hutton? No. Who's the dude? It was a... So now I gotta look.
Exactly.
I just remember...
It is about drugs.
I remember when it first came out, and the actor that I saw in it, I was like, he's in it. I think it would be really good. But now I don't remember.
Jason Bateman?
Jason Bateman.
Yes.
And it all goes to Timothy Hutton.
I was like, who's Timothy Hutton? But anyway.
What? You don't know who Timothy Hutton is? Okay. Timothy Hutton has been in multiple movies, but the only movie I remember him in is in that 80s movie, Taps. Do you remember Taps?
I don't. I mean, I know I've seen it, but I don't remember at all.
So it's kind of like a Red Dawn in that it's these young kids who are in military school and they have to – something happens. I don't remember what, but they have to basically – protect themselves and their school. And I just remember having such a big crush on Timothy Hutton.
No, I'm just looking at him right now and he does not look attractive.
He's probably like 80 years old now. I don't know how old. Honestly, he's probably our age.
63.
The Peanut Gallery says he's 63.
Oh my god. Okay, I know what show I was thinking of. I was thinking of the OA. Never mind. Not Ozark. Nah.
Well, we were way off.
So, anywho, back to Silver Surfer. Is there anything else that she's been in that people might recognize her from?
Let's see. I remember her from Ozark, and she was a badass, but you're probably right. She probably was in other things. Julia Gardner. Movies. I cannot Google as fast as other people.
It's your Galaxy phone.
Oh, how dare you! Oh, she was in The Royal Hotel, which I just watched. It was, The Royal Hotel. You could probably stream it on Hulu. And in that movie, she was an American, I think she was an American, traveling through, down under Australia. Uh-huh. And it was just the way the men treated the women. It was just awful to watch, but she did a really great job. She also was in Grandma, which is another good movie. And she was in Sin City.
Oh, she was in Sin City. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Yeah.
And also Perks of Being a Wallflower, but I don't remember her. I've seen that movie, but I don't remember her in it.
Right. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Definitely. So I look forward to her performance just because I know she's a real badass. I've seen, like I said, just this movie, The Royal Hotel, which was like really intense, super, super intense. And she was just brilliant in it, just really good. So I'm excited to see what happens with this movie, The Fantastic Four. What is this, the third restart or is it the fourth movie to do a whole new Fantastic Four cast of characters?
But the first time that Marvel is actually, I think, at the helm.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Who's in it again? Like, besides her?
I don't know.
I don't remember either.
I, keep, I, I know. I see the announcements and they just go in one eyeball and out the other, and I don't remember. I don't retain the information. Also, I'm not a big Fantastic Four fan. That's mostly why. Reed Richards is a jerk, and I just anything Fantastic Four that I've ever read, I've just never been a fan of. So I know that some people really enjoy the storylines, but I have not yet found anything. And also, to in the Fantastic Four's defense, there have not been any Fantastic Four comic books out since I've really been reading comics, because I think there was some like property ownership issue going on there. And so I haven't really read any Fantastic Four stuff. I think there was a Fantastic Four, there was a Fantastic Four book that Eddie read that he really liked that was like Generations or something. I can't remember what it was called, but each issue was like Fantastic Four in a different decade. And he did really like that one.
So. And there was that Silver Surfer series that they did. It's no longer ongoing. But it was drawn in that kind of cutesy, like 70s style. And that series was good.
I think, I want to say Mike Allred drew it.
Maybe.
If I'm mistaken. But anyway, yes, I did read that book. But there was no Fantastic Four stuff, just Silver Surfer stuff. So I'm not looking forward to the movie. I'm not looking forward to the movie. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal is in it.
Oh.
So that's
I remember that.
God damn it. They found a way to drag me in.
I do remember that. That was a big announcement. Yeah. I forgot.
I was like, I don't care. I'm not going to go see it. But now you've said the magic words.
I know, right? Also,
you know what? No, they're going to have to strip him naked. Or else I'm not going.
Antonio Banderas is going to be Galactus.
What?
I know.
That sounds made up.
Margot Robbie's going to be in it as well. And Jake Gyllenhaal.
Really? She's coming over to Marvel? What is she going to be? She going to be
Sue Storm?
Sue Storm?
I don't think so. Some Vanessa Kirby is going to be Sue Storm. And her, I've seen her face before, but I'm not really familiar. Apparently, she was in Napoleon, Hobbs and Shaw, Mission Impossible 6. How many Mission Impossibles?
Anyway, I know.
She's a British actress.
Yeah.
She's pretty.
Yeah. She's pretty.
She's very pretty.
Yes, she is.
And once again, another too good woman for Reed Richards.
Well, that's all the familiar faces I see. So I'm looking forward to it now. So that's going to be exciting.
Nice.
All right, guys. Now it's time for On My Radar. Kristen, what is on your radar?
On My Radar this week is a book that is not really new to people, but I just read it in its entirety. I'm just going to the page to see when this hardcover came out. And the hardcover came out in, it looks like the single issues came out in 2021 and 2022. And the hardcover came out probably last year. But let me see. Catwoman, Lonely City. And it is a book that is written and drawn by Cliff Chang. And if you are a fan of his at all, then you know that his art is just beautiful. This is his cover art as well. And then inside, the art is just amazing. The story actually follows an older, maybe wiser, Catwoman who has been in jail, for multiple years for the death of Batman. And she is, when she's released, she is determined to find out who really killed him and what's going on in Gotham. And I really enjoy being able to see Selina Kyle as an older woman, but not just Selina is older, but there we have an older, more voluptuous Poison Ivy as well.
Hell yeah.
And the story is, sorry, not sorry that I love a Batman adjacent story with no Batman in it. So the fact that he's dead in this book,
that's just a bonus.
Really appreciate. And we get to see some characters in here that you don't really necessarily see a lot of character development in some of other Batman stories. So Killer Croc is in here, and he actually has a very cool, amazing character development story in here. Joker is in here, but Riddler is the one that I meant to say. Really has a good developed character story in here. And we also see Two-Face, who happens to be mayor of Gotham in the book, going through some stuff. And who else? Barbara Gordon is in here as well. So it is a very, very well-told story. The art itself is amazing. This is the entire story here, and it's 4 issues, and they came in these big oversized. And I'm the first as a retailer to say that I hated the oversized DC Black Label books, because they just took up so much space on the shelf, and then putting them in back issue is a big annoyance. But it really served its purpose for Bernard Chang's art. So if you haven't picked up Catwoman Lonely City, it's available in hardcover. I don't know if they'll ever put it out in softcover, but it's $29.99 for the hardcover, and you might even still be able to find some of the back issues in your LCS back issue section. But I highly recommend it, so definitely pick it up.
Yeah, it also looks like a pretty hefty book.
It is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, guys, it's the favorite time of the episode. It's la hora de la cervecita. And what are we drinking today, girls?
Ooh. Well, we are drinking pumpkin ale, a brown ale brewed with pumpkin and spices. Mm-hmm. It's a 7% ABV, and it is by Dogfish Head.
Dogfish Head. Yes.
Okay. Dogfish Head. And it's, I guess, part of a series. This is the Off-Centered Art series.
The art is so cute.
It really is. I'm loving it. Very like whimsical.
Yes.
And almost like Alice in Wonderland-y.
And the artist is Natalia Baunova. Baunova. So,
yeah, 2023 Off-Centered Art Series artist, Natalia Balnovia. I don't have any more information on this. The can art, it just has like the usual government warning and stuff like that. It says brewed and canned by Dogfish Head Craft Brewery in Milton, Brenningsville, Pennsylvania.
Whoa, ooh. All the way from the East Coast.
I think they might have a few breweries, actually. One in Delaware, one in Pennsylvania, and one in Ohio, in collaboration with Boston Beer Company. Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's like, it's a collab.
Well, I haven't had a pumpkin ale in a very long time. I used to really enjoy Red Car's pumpkin ale every Halloween, fall season. But this last season, I was in there, but I didn't try it. And then I just didn't pick any up. I haven't really found one that I enjoy, because they're sometimes so pumpkiny and so spicy that it just overbears on everything. So I'm looking forward to this one to see how it is.
Oh yeah. Take a
everything
sip.
That you just said about a pumpkin ale makes me want it. I want it to be pumpkiny and spicy.
Oh, very! It smells very pumpkiny and spicy. And I see that you picked this one up at 310.
Yes, I did.
And this one was only $5 a can as opposed to the $12 one we had last week.
Ooh.
Okay. This is a full-bodied brown ale with smooth hints of pumpkin, brown sugar, and spice.
Ooh, brown sugar. See, I mentioned earlier I had dental work done today, and the numbness is just wearing off. And so I'm hoping that my taste buds are back to normal because I tried. It's also National Burrito Day, and I tried to have a burrito for dinner, and I couldn't taste it. So hopefully I can taste the beer. Mm. It's definitely all those things that I said that were bad in other beers, but not in this one.
Yeah, it's like it really
it's
has a good
pumpkin-y,
taste.
It's spicy, but it's not overbearing and like they all really mesh together very well. There's not one that overpowers the other.
And like, it's not like sweet either. It's more like they used molasses, and molasses does have like a taste, and that's kind of what it tastes like to me.
I taste molasses 100%.
Yeah, I think it has like a buttery feel too. Like,
yeah,
it's
very really smooth.
Yeah, it's really smooth. Yeah, I'm enjoying this actually.
It's pretty good. I'm assuming that this was released for the fall. So if you guys have the opportunity to pick up pumpkin beers, definitely try them out because I have come across some really good ones. And sometimes you have to drink some of the yucky ones to find the good ones. But this is definitely a good one. And I don't know if they brew it every year. But if they do, I would definitely keep an eye out for it next year. Well, not next year, this year.
And if it was a collab, I wonder if it, like, changes. Probably does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm enjoying it. I love this.
Can we see some of the can art, Jen? I know your camera has the non-mirror.
So, look at the little pumpkin.
It shows up really nice.
Yeah. It gives us a hit Montijo vibes.
It does, yes. Rode Montijo is an artist that specializes in Halloween art, and we saw him at. He's the creator of my Batcat clock that is on the wall.
I love that.
Behind the computer.
I love that clock.
But he was at, WonderCon this weekend and we said hi to him and he, seemed to be doing very well. He also has, if you happen to be, going to San Diego Comic-Con, he usually has a super big booth, at San Diego every year and you can't miss him. His vibe is like orange and black with some like light brown, so very, very Halloween-y vibe.
Halloween
to
in
it.
The summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I also want to add that I met Eric Estrada and I shook his hand at WonderCon. Yes. That was the highlight of my WonderCon experience.
I thought Sarah was just gonna pass out right there.
I'm so excited. I grew up with him, watching him on Chips, and then later on watching him in a Spanish telenovela called Dos Mujeres, Un Camino.
Yes!
Yes! Anyway, I went up to, well, this was all on the insistence of Eddie and Kristen, because I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. They're like, come on, he's just a human being. Go say hi. And I'm like, oh, man, no, I can't. Okay, fine. I'll do it. And then I went and I said, Mr. Estrada, I loved you in Dos Mujeres Un Camino. And then he goes, gracias. And Chip, man, I grew up with Chips. I love you, sir. And or something like that. I can't even remember. And then I shook his hand, and it was a firm handshake. It's great. It's just wonderful. Oh, now I'm just reliving it again.
She's in the moment.
I'm in the moment. But anyway, we are ready to actually rate this beer. Yes. What is our rating scale?
So our rating scale is a 5-point scale where 1 out of 5 is unsatisfied. 2 out of 5 is... No, no, no. 1 out of 5 is very unsatisfied. 2 out of 5 is unsatisfied. 3 out of 5 is neutral. 4 out of 5 is satisfied, and 5 out of 5 is very satisfied. So I'll go ahead and start, and I'm going to give it 4 out of 5, very satisfied. I mean, no, regularly satisfied, 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. I would buy this again. Definitely fall vibes. The pumpkin is not overpowering. The spice is not overpowering. It all is very, smooth, and all the flavors work together very well. So I'm giving it 4 out of 5.
I am also going to give it a satisfied. I really am surprised. I didn't think this was going to do so well. I wasn't expecting much from it, and it was a very, very pleasant surprise. So satisfied. What about you, Jen?
I'm also going to give it a satisfied, 4 out of 5, simply because in my head, when I saw that we were going to drink it, I wanted it to feel like I was drinking a pumpkin pie. it's still very good. I'm still very much liking it. But the, what would make this 5 out of 5 was if this tasted like pumpkin pie. but I am very satisfied with it. I really like it. I enjoy the flavors. I enjoy the canner. I like how it smells. So 4 out of 5 for me.
Excellent. And that has been our beer review. All right, guys. Now it's time for our book review. What are we reviewing today?
Well, oops, where's my phone? I only have it on my phone. So we are reviewing yet again another comic book called Quetzalcoatl. And if I sound salty, it's because I am. I'm so, I'm not done, but like, I just feel like we have been so inundated over the past year or so with tons of comics of, named, called this, or this character in the name, or one of the main characters in the book. And so I went into this, very salty to begin with. So sorry. but we received this. I didn't receive it. I didn't see it in our email, if that's where we got it. But it's created by, and I don't see the full names of the creators on here either. So Sarah, if you have more information, I can just see that it says Jimenez, Martinez, and Richardson.
Yes, it is Sam Jimenez, Mickey or Miguel Martinez, and Ana Maria Escobedo Richardson. They all fall under author because I looked it up on Amazon, but I have no idea who the artist is. Was no reference to the artist at all. The first Quetzalcoatl issue, because we're reviewing 1 and 2, it only had Sam Jimenez and Mickey Martinez, but I think with the reprint, maybe they added Escobedo. But on the second issue, it has, and again, I saw it on Amazon, it has Miguel Martinez, Sam Jimenez, Ana Maria Richardson, and Mickey Martinez. So I thought Mickey and Miguel Martinez were the same person, but on the second issue, it starts out with Mickey Martinez and it ends with Miguel Martinez, like the whole list. And all of them come out as authors. No one is the illustrator. So I don't know who was the artist.
No one wanted
on these
to claim it.
No sé.
Well, there is a dedication page which actually got me excited for the story. And it says, to our grandmothers and all who came before us. And so I was like, okay. Reading yet another story about this god. He's a god, right? I got past that and I saw this dedication. I was like, oh, okay. I'm kind of interested now. And when we started getting into the regular story, I was like, okay, because I'm sorry. It's just like people who judge me because I don't like black and white movies. I feel like people will judge me because I really can't get into these period piece books where it's like all the Aztec warriors or all, like usually I will read them and I'm like, oh my God, this is really good. But I don't know. I have a bias against it for some reason where I'm like, I'm not going to like this. I don't know why, because there's so many that I do like. So it started out with the warriors and some words, and then we got into present day, and then I relaxed because I was like, okay, this is a story that is actually taking place in the present day. So we are introduced to what is her name?
Herminia Jimenez.
And we're introduced to her and her grandmother, actually. And we're at an art show, and there's some friends that come talking to Herminia. And okay, so reading issue 1 and 2, I felt like the idea was really good. And I kind of got into the idea and wanted to know where the story was going, but the storytelling itself, to me anyway, felt very disjointed, and I had a hard time, following what was going on. And there's a couple other nitpicky things that I will bring up, but I'll save that for later. But I thought that the idea itself was really, cool and interesting. But also I feel like I got very little of the story in 2 whole issues, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Go ahead and tell what you guys, about the story.
Well, I actually backed the first issue on Kickstarter. And I got the physical book, but, because of circumstances, I cannot find it because it's packed away in a warehouse. Because I had a house fire. But anyway.
And her house is okay. Well, yes. Her house is not okay. But it's mostly standing.
it's on the mend.
Yes.
So I kickstarted the first issue. And then the second issue came out. I wasn't aware that it was being kickstarted. But we got the PDF of both the first and the second issue from Mickey Martinez. And this book is being sold also on Amazon. So you could check that out if you're interested. Mm-hmm. I was kind of a little unsatisfied because, like you said, I didn't get like where it was going story-wise. And it wasn't until the second issue that I actually enjoyed it more on the second issue. And I felt,
agreed.
But I also felt that could have been propelled in the first issue as well.
Yes, me too.
Also, what I felt is the second issue was better than the first art-wise. Some of the art was really interesting because, like, you see Herminia, and she's looking at a person, and that reflection of that person is in her eyes. And I thought that was really clever art-wise. I thought, wow, it was impressive. The kind of dream sequence, the kind of like land of the past and the future and the present of her family. Like, because there's an accident that happens and that propels her into this kind of like sort of like other dimension kind of thing. And I thought that representation of the other dimension was really well done. It was really well done art-wise. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I also have to say that the writing was better in the second issue. A better pace. And also I feel like more eyes were on it to catch little things that what might have been missed in the first issue, which now that Kristen says, when something like that happens, where it's like either a wrong word or a misspelling or something like that, it takes you out of the story. I felt that in this first issue. Yes.
Yep. Same with me. I saw an editing, some error, and I was like, oh no, why are you doing this to me? And also I think an editor would have caught that the grandmother was speaking outside of her age demographic, if that makes sense. Her words, yes. A lot of times she was talking as if she was a young teenager or 20 something. And I'm like, I can't have you calling her abuelita in one panel and then her spouting off with, okay, like there's cool grandmas. If I was a grandma, I'd be cool. But that's not how she was portrayed. In here, she was older. She had gray hair.
Very traditional looking.
Yeah, very traditional looking. And when she spouted off with, it's not all that about her art, I'm like, who said that? I had to go back and look to see, and it was her. I was like, that also took me out. I'm like, her words oftentimes didn't match who her character was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I read through most of, I read all of issue one, and I unfortunately had to skim most of issue two, but I agree with the both of you that issue two just felt better. I felt like issue one could have been summarized a lot. A lot of the relationships that were playing out there were like, they made sense, but also they're just all like, it was giving us something that we're not ready for, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have introduced these relationship dynamics a lot later. I think that issue number two, like, with maybe just a couple more pages and a summary of, like, issue one, could have all been, that's your first issue right there, would have been very grabbing, very unique, very, it would be more forgiving towards it, I think. I did enjoy it. I think I like where the storyline seems to be heading, the bits of it that I could pick out. I like that the grandmother and like the reveal of her like true nature is like I can kind of piece together what's going on. So we get she basically has an inheritance, and the inheritance is to be guardian over the imprisonment of God, of the name. But you were saying it earlier, Kristen, but TBH, the reason I put off reading this was because I was, at first I was confused. I was just like, haven't we read this before?
I'm same. Like, oh, be fun. I'm like, why is they giving us the same book?
I was like, I think we've read this before, but we just didn't do an episode. So, okay, I think I'll be fine. I won't read it. Mistake. Shows what I know. So then I was like reading through it, and as I was reading through it, I love the colors.
Yes,
but that first issue felt more like colored, like actually just like they had their like rough line art and just slapped colors on it.
Yeah,
and that second issue felt more polished. Mm-hmm. So I really do think that issue one is not even like it should be like a prologue instead of their actual issue one. Their actual issue one is the issue two. An editor would help, but overall I do like that. I think this is a more unique take. Mm-hmm. Although Quetzalcoatl is a very contentious god, even today in like modern belief, like, is Quetzalcoatl a good, benevolent god, or is he like an enemy? Because it was mm-hmm. like the belief was that he would come back and destroy the pantheon, and so it's in this version, it's more of a, instead of the kind of like sort of helpful but like mysterious god, he's straight up like kind of malicious. He's straight up malicious. So I thought that was interesting. I thought that was more of, I think, a different take on what we've seen of Quetzalcoatl. So I am interested in it. It's also like the cover art of issue number two, I was just like, oh, is this kind of like a Power Rangers Maya thing going on right here, or like Mexica Mishiga Power Rangers. But it's just her.
It's Morphin time.
Yeah. So that's what it kind of looked like to me. But I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure what genre this is besides like sort of fantasy-esque. But I'm willing to read more issues of it. I am intrigued by it. I think the concept is more unique, if not the name itself. And I really do like it's a very colorful book. Mm-hmm. And that last page of issue 2, I thought that was really good. I was just like, oh shit, maybe I don't understand what's going on here.
Yeah, so, I definitely found little pieces throughout both issues that I'm like, oh, I want to know more about what's going on here. But it wasn't until I completely finished number 2 that the whole thing came together for me. And unfortunately, if I only had a number 1, if this was something that came into my hands, I would not have wanted to read number 2. But because we had them both and we were reviewing them, I read it. And I'm glad I did, because I had a much more positive take of the story having read both issues. But like, for example, obviously she's had some stuff going on with her. Why is she so angry? Like, there's nothing in the book that made me other than the fact that she very quickly references that she buried her real mother when her grandmother passed away, and she says that to her biological mom, and so obviously there's some stuff going on there. And I mean, I was in that situation growing up. My grandmother for the most part raised me. My mom had me when she was 19, and you know, to her credit, she was out, she was working, she, you know, was going to night school, she was doing all that. But that just meant that my grandmother was the person. And in fact, I called my grandmother Ma for many, many years. And so I understand that dynamic, but we didn't get that much of it. It really wasn't enough for me to understand why Erminia was so angry.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the story.
Yeah. She drops some cuss words in the first issue, and I'm just like, oh, that was kind of, I didn't expect to read that. Like right away, like she definitely has some anger somewhere for some reason.
What's a Latina without mother issues?
This is true. And then to the credit also to this book, they did use a different colored speech bubbles or internal monologue in different colors to kind of single out who was talking. As far as either it's Quetzalcoatl, the grandmother, or the warrior, or stuff like that, which I thought was good. But sometimes it was a little bit difficult to follow in the first issue. But as far as the second issue, I think they did such a good job with the second issue. Art-wise, it just blew my mind. Just the first page of the second issue was just amazing.
That dream, like, sequence was super well done. I really did enjoy that. I was just like, oh, this is good.
And I think they might have had, like I said, more eyes, or maybe even an editor. But I think that also maybe in the third issue, I'd really appreciate like the letter or the artist. You know, who's who? I want to know what's
or who's
going
done
on.
Done what?
Yes, yeah. I mean
credit. Credit properly.
Yes.
It not only helps you as like a creator, but also it helps the reader as well, because maybe they'll be interested more in what each individual person who contributed to it has to do as well.
Yeah, like I would definitely, like you said, the art and the colors were amazing. So I definitely would like to look at more of their stuff, like on social media or follow them on Instagram kind of thing. But I don't know who's who. They, like I said, they all say author in the Amazon listing, but then I went to where they're selling the book, but there's no information there as well. So I'm a little lost on to who did what. And it was really just strange to read, four authors on issue two. I thought that can't be right, can it?
I'm also, is English their native language?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think that would also explain a lot of the language and stuff like that. So who knows? Or that maybe they think author covers everything.
Everything? Or maybe there was an error in entering the information on Amazon? I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's very confusing because you do read the issues and none of that has a listing of the people and their strict job description on the book. Mm-hmm. Like even cover artists on most comic books are like, oh, cover done by like David Mack, or, you know, it gives a specific, like, yeah, David Mack did the cover, but he didn't do the inside of the book. So we need, I need all that information. I like to have that information, especially when we review a book, you know?
Mm-hmm. And obviously I didn't hold the actual book in my hand. I just read the PDF, but there better be a price on it.
Yes.
As a retailer, I get so frustrated when indie creators do not put prices on their books and then they want me to carry it in my shop. And I understand their reasoning. They say, oh, you know, I want to be able to set my own price at different shows, or I want to be able to say, hey, it's on sale. Okay, but you can still put a price on it and put it on sale if you want at the show. It just makes it so hard for retailers to put them on the shelf, because then you're going to force me to put it in a bag and board and put a price on it. And then that is going to prevent people from wanting to open it up and look through it. And that's going to prevent them from buying it. So just keep that in mind. If you're an indie creator, when you're creating your own book, and you want retailers to carry it, it has to have a price on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But I, like I said, I enjoyed the concept, especially like I said, I can't speak enough about issue two. It's just, it really brought it all together. And maybe, I don't know, maybe to propel the story, like if you want to tell us more as a reader, maybe do like a little intro at the very first page and then move into the story. Sort of just like Star Wars does at the beginning with all those paragraphs.
Yeah.
Like we can't just jump in the story. Like they have to like break it down a little bit before we jump in the story. So I think we're ready to rate it. What is our rating scale, Kristen?
So we rate books on a scale of 1 to 3 conchas, where 3 conchas is the most that Jen's mom ever let her eat in one sitting. So that was the best. So if a book is so good that it doesn't fit on that scale, then we each individually give it our own special rating. But the basic rating is 1, 2, or 3 conchas.
Yes. I'm going to start. Like I said, I had a little trouble with the first issue, but the second issue just blew my mind. So I think both of them together, reading them together, really did this story it really propelled the interest in me for this. I'm, like Jen said, I would be very happy to read issue 3, 4, 5, or maybe, I don't know, 10, if they have 10. But I'm going to give it 2 conchas.
Okay. So, I'm going to, give it 1.75. It's not 2 for me. Because the things that I was nitpicky about really annoyed me. but like I said, after reading the second one, I was interested to read more of the story. It's a unique take. I love the fact that, the grandmothers, that this was something that was passed down, through the women of this family, and that the grandmother was such a powerful, character and person in this family and in this story. But it would just, I feel like it could have definitely been executed a lot more concise and clear. And so for that, I'm going to give it 1.75 conchas.
I also wanted to point out, this is another thing that is very interesting to me that I hope to read in the future that they made a point about, was when Erminia said to her grandmother, what about my mom? Mm-hmm. And then it left us in that cliffhanger. Yeah. So now there's another level to the story that I'm very interested in knowing more about.
Yeah, because it went from the grandmother to the granddaughter. And yes, Edwinia, being the granddaughter, said, what about my mom? And we never got the answer. So yes, you're right. I'm sure that there's plans for that in the story coming up. And that definitely is an interesting aspect that I would be interested to read.
Absolutely.
Yeah, same. So if it was just that issue one, I would have given it one concha. But that second issue did a lot. I think I'm going to give it 1.5. So we've got 1.5, 1.75, and 2 conchas. I think the story is unique and interesting. I do want to read more. I think it's got a very strong potential. I really am taking with like how colorful it is. I think that's really, really good. Not a lot of like only like browns and oranges and like, or dusty looking. I think that's pretty good. So 1.5 conchas for me. Just got to do better. Just do a little better.
You're going in the right direction for sure. I mean, I'm already like into it. Like I want to know more about the mom and the daughter and why the mom was skipped over. And I don't even care about the possible love story there is there. Because there is, I think, a little bit of a unrequited love story there as well. But
whatever. If you're going to crash into me, I don't want to have nothing to do with you.
I don't care how much you care about me. You crashed into me. You almost killed me, actually. Very novella-esque.
Yeah. And that has been our book review. All right, guys. It's now time for En la Librería. Jen, what do you have for us today?
So today I have Sweet Abilene, a short, funny, erotic comic made with love. Ooh. A prequel of sorts to Shot and Chaser, Sweet Abilene depicts Trey and Ollie in earlier, happier days on the night of their first hookup. First of all, there's another one? Second of all, I just picked this out because I was just like, oh, that looks pretty cute. This is being done by E.K. Weaver, and E.K. Weaver is a comic artist, letterer, and illustrator from Austin, Texas. The story that they have here for their like kind of like synopsis of the campaign is, "Hi, I'm E.K. Weaver. I've been making independent comics for 16 years. My debut webcomic graphic novel, The Less Than Epic Adventures of TJ Animal." Holy shit! Hold on, I'm having a moment.
Wow, this episode is full of moments.
No, you don't understand. TJ Animal, I spent $75 buying the out-of-print hardcover.
Oh, for this wow. book. I gotta look that
this,
up.
this like webcomic graphic novel, I was reading it when I was like 14, 15 with my best friend.
Oh, like, wow.
Oh, my God. First of all, I'm so, so happy that they're still creating comics. Honestly, I had, like, after TJ and Amal, I had no idea what happened to them. Like, I, like, tried looking them. I couldn't remember who it was. So I was like, what happened to them? So the fact that they're still making comics, oh, my God. I'm experiencing, like Britney Spears making music again. This is what it feels like to me. Like, she's not insane. You get me? Like, yes. Oh my God. Okay. All right. So, their debut webcomic graphic novel, The Less Than Epic Adventures of TJ and Amal, was a long labor of love and has won multiple comic and literary awards. Their current webcomic, Shot and Chaser, is a tense, emotional adult drama that takes place in May 2020. The protagonists, Trey and Ollie, are storm chasers, best friends, boyfriends, life mates, soulmates, just a couple of messed up dudes in their 30s doing their best to get by in small town Texas. This side story, Sweet Abilene, takes place in April 2016, 4 years before the webcomic, and tells the very sweet and goofy story of the first time Trey and Ollie hooked up. It's an erotic story for adults only with a lot of heart. Sweet Abilene is 44 interior black and white pages inked with screen tones with a color cover printed 8x10. Interior paperweight is 60 hash, 60 like, and then the like hashtag sign. I don't know what that means.
Pound.
Okay. The interior paperweight is 60 pounds, I guess. Heavier if gold is surpassed by sufficient amount to cover cost. Stable bound, perfect bound if gold is surpassed by sufficient amount to cover costs. The comic is finished and print ready. A deposit has been made with the printer. I just have no way to predict how many people will want one. This Kickstarter is to ensure that the print run matches demand. Just want a PDF or want the PDF as well? It's available as at their itch.io creator page. The PDF version has a single page layout, is not suited for printing. And then they have content notes, which a link to an offsite link for specific adult content warnings. there's a lot of pining, awkwardness, and love confessions. Cis guy and a trans guy romance. Interior narration from Ollie's anxious point of view. Lots of goofs and fun with lettering. There's a rough timeline for printing, proofing, and the rough timeline for printing, proofing, and shipping turnaround is 4 months. And they have some sample pages, and their artwork has only gotten better. Oh my god, I'm so all their signed copies are sold out.
Aww,
okay, no. So they had a goal of $1,000. They've already surpassed it.
Oh, it's wow, currently that's at 4,000. Really,
yeah, it's currently at 4,520 with 179 backers and 9 days to go as of recording this episode. I cannot recommend TK Weaver enough. TJ and Amal, the Lesson Epic Adventures of TJ and Amal was like life changing for me. And like, it is one of those like comics that me and my best friend still talk about to wow. this day. Like, cause she's the one who found it first and then she showed it to me. And then that was just, we would like, whenever it would update, we would read it together. I was just all like, oh my God, I'm gonna read their current webcomic. And this is just like a side, like a prequel of sorts to their main webcomic that's currently out. It's, which is Shot and Chaser. So it's Sweet Abilene. Sweet spelled S-W-E-E-T, and then Abilene is A-B-I-L-E-N-E. TK Weaver is a great storyteller, a great artist, a great letterer, a great everything. They're a webcomic creator, so they do everything. Their work alone from TJ and Amal is enough to be for me to say that I will always recommend their works. So definitely check it out. It is a queer romance. It said it's between a cis guy and a trans guy. But I'm just thinking about all my favorite moments on TJ and Amal. I was just like, if it's anywhere close to that, and it's probably better because they've only gotten like more prolific for a long time. I know I'm gonna end up crying either like reading Shot and Chaser or this like short one series. I swear to God, these I didn't even realize. I look up as I'm like searching for stuff in La Libreria, and I see like if something interests me, like either from like the like splash page that they have or like the little summary that they have, I don't read beyond that besides when I'm doing the episode. So that was a fucking live reaction, by the way, when I realized. So check it out. Highly recommend it. You can always back without expecting a reward, but the print copy is just $17 for oh, wow. Kickstarter. Yeah. It's going to be 44 pages. So that's if that's short, that's pretty good. And that's the only one available. Like it's just one pledge. And for sure they're already successful. When they said that it's already done and just waiting to be printed, I 100% believe it. So, if you want to check it out, $17 for 44 pages. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Now it's time for Juntos y Fuertes. Kristen, what do you have for us today?
So Juntos y Fuertes is our segment where we highlight projects and programs by marginalized communities that we think need highlighting. And today, it is that time of year. We are in the beginning of April, and in May, Tia Chucha usually holds their Celebrating Words Festival. And this year, it's their 19th annual Celebrating Words Festival. And it's a free event. It's going to be happening Saturday, May 18th from 2 to 7. And it is happening in Pacoima like it does every year at the Vaughn Academy. But the reason I'm sharing it with you now is not just to give you information about attending if you'd like to take your family or go on your own, but they are asking for volunteers. They're on the lookout for passionate volunteers to help them ignite the spark of creativity and to celebrate culture together at the 19th annual Celebrating Words Festival. They're looking for enthusiastic volunteers to join the team. No prior experience is necessary. Volunteer opportunities range from art workshop assistants, greeters, bookstore assistants, and much more. And the deadline to apply to be a volunteer is April 19th. Comadre Comics always has a table at the Celebrating Words Festival. Hopefully we'll have it again this year, but it is such a great community event there in the Valley in Pacoima. And if you're a volunteer there, you'll be able to see just the amazing way that this event affects the community there. So we'll post this information on our website, or not our website, on our post of the episode. But you can go to tiachucha.org. That's TIACHUCHA.ORG for more information.
All right, guys. Now it's time for saludos. And saludos goes out today to at Pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, underscore Y, underscore Gritos, G-R-I-T-O-S. That's Pistos y Gritos. It's described as just another Chicano company, Stay Trucha, which I thought is cute. Stay Trucha. You could also find their merch on www.pistosygritos.com. If you guys remember, I wore a Hella Chicana t-shirt at WonderCon. I got so many compliments from it, and it is actually a purchase I did at the Latinx Comic Art Festival, and they were one of the vendors there, Pistos y Gritos. I was going to look up what pistos mean, but because it's a slang from like the 1990s that Chicanos used to say, but I couldn't remember to do that. Do you guys know what that means? Pistos?
No.
Okay, let's see.
I always read it as pitos y gritos. I thought that was more funny. But no, I don't know what that means. I did walk by the table multiple times and wanted to look more closely, and I just never had time. And then when I saw you with the shirt, I'm like, darn it, I forgot to go back to that booth. So I'm glad one of us had the opportunity to give them some business.
Poco a poco con escasas. I don't think sparingly. I don't know. I think it's more of a slang than that. It's sort of like when you used to call cassette tape zaps. That's the thing that happened a long time ago.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
Okay. Definitely. Well, now you know. Just go at Pistos y Gritos and check out their merch. They have a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool t-shirts. I just happened to get that one because I thought it was super cool. And their products are really cool because they're actually screen printed. So it's not one of those that is going to just like wash off or lift off. It's ingrained in the fabric. It's really amazing. So check out that merch, Pistos y Gritos, on Instagram or www.pistosygritos.com. Saludos goes out to you guys. Just another Chicano company. Stay trucha. I love it. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Where can they find us, Kristen?
You can find us at our website, comadresycomics.com, where you can find all of the links to all of our social media. And we also have a YouTube channel where you can now watch us. If you are listening to us on all the major stream or on any of the major streaming platforms, you can now watch us on YouTube. And then you can also watch our ancillary show, Las Platicas, where we interview creators and highlight their books and their projects that they are working on.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, or thanks for watching. We have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's on Period Network.